Okay, so let's unpack this. I'm going to say a word and I want you to just try very hard not to immediately tune out.
Okay, I'm ready.
That word is insurance. Specifically, liability insurance. Now, hold on. I saw that eye roll. I know, I know. It sounds like the absolute driest, most administrative topic we could possibly
It
choose.
does. It absolutely does. It sounds like paperwork. It sounds like a headache.
But that's the trap, isn't
It
it?
is. Because if you're running an outfitting business or, guiding hunts, that word insurance isn't actually about paperwork at all. It's about survival.
Right. And that's the shift we need to make right away. We're not talking about filing forms. We're talking about a survival guide for your livelihood. We are talking about protecting the legacy you're trying to build.
The whole dream, really.
Exactly. So today we are diving deep into some insights from the American Hunting Lease Association, the AHLA. We're looking at their guidance for outfitters and guides. And the mission here is, well, it's simple. We want to unpack why this coverage might be the only thing standing between a bad day in the woods and total ruin.
And just to set the stage here, think about an outfitter's life.
Yeah.
And we're talking to you, the listener, who might be in the thick of this right now. You have so much on your plate. You're tracking game, you're maintaining gear, fixing tree stands.
You're trying to keep clients happy so they come back next year. It's managed chaos, but it is chaos. You're up before dawn, you're going to bed after midnight, you've got mud on your boots and a thousand things on your mind.
Exactly. And in that whirlwind, sitting down to figure out liability insurance, it just gets pushed to the bottom of the list. It's easy to say, I'll get to that next week. But the source material we're looking at today asks a couple of really uncomfortable questions that you have to answer. Do you want to protect your family's assets? Do you want to shield your clients?
And are you willing to gamble everything you've built on the hope that, well, that nothing goes wrong and things do go wrong? That's the reality. So let's jump right in. What are we actually talking about when we say risk? Because I think when people hear hunting accident, they immediately think of the absolute worst case scenario.
Someone getting shot.
Right. And obviously that is a risk, but the source points out it's not just the Hollywood style disasters, is it?
No, it's much, much broader than that. And this is where it gets really interesting because the scope of liability is, well, it's surprisingly wide. The AHLA documentation, of course, lists the obvious ones. An accidental discharge of a firearm is the nightmare scenario,
Sure.
or someone falling out of a tree stand. Those are the high stakes bodily injury cases. But the source also highlights stuff like lodging damage.
Right. Like if a client accidentally sets the cabin on fire, I feel like that's something people don't really connect with hunting insurance.
Exactly. Damage to rented premises is a specific line item we'll get to.
Yeah.
But just think about a hunting camp environment. You've got wood stoves, propane heaters, people smoking, maybe a few drinks after the hunt. If a client knocks over a heater and the cabin goes up, that's a massive liability.
And equipment damage too, right? Like an ATV.
Oh, absolutely. If a client drives an ATV into a creek or flips a UTV on a steep grade, it's not just the vehicle, it's the injury that happens during the crash. But there's another layer here that I think gets overlooked all the time. It's not just about the paying client, it's about the people working for you.
Oh, that's a great point. The employees. Because an outfitting business is rarely a one-person show.
Right. The source specifically mentions cooks, guides, and maintenance staff. If you're running an outfit, you have people working behind the scenes. Maybe they're prepping food, maybe they're fixing a fence. They're exposed to all the same risks.
So if your cook slips on an icy patch outside the lodge,
Exactly. Or your guide gets injured setting up a blind. That is a liability issue for the business. You need to protect them too.
that really expands the picture. It's not just did the hunter shoot safely? It's is my entire operation safe for everyone?
And here's the core legal assumption that the AHLA brings up, and I think this is crucial. The moment you allow someone onto your property, whether it's land, a lodge, or even just your truck or boat, you are assuming legal risk.
Just by inviting them in.
Just by inviting them in. Now, add hunting to that equation. You're introducing weapons, wild animals, uneven terrain. You have just massively increased the chance of something going wrong. And if you're the one facilitating it, the liability lands squarely on you.
That's a sobering thought. Okay, so I want to pivot to the where, because I think a lot of people assume this only applies to the guy who owns a massive 5,000-acre ranch. But the source material breaks this down, and it turns out where you hunt, it changes the flavor of the risk, but it doesn't get rid of it.
That's a perfect way to put it. The flavor changes, but the risk remains. So let's look at that first one you mentioned, private land ownership, the outfitter who owns the dirt.
The dream scenario. You hold the deed.
It is. But with ownership comes assets. The source notes, you probably have significant structures. Lodges, cabins, outbuildings, tractors, equipment. If a lawsuit happens, all of that is on the table. They aren't just coming for your business account. They could come for the physical assets.
The very infrastructure of your life.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the owner. But what about the guys who lease? I feel like that's incredibly common. You don't own the land, you just pay the landowner for access.
Scenario two, leased land.
Yeah.
This is a complex web.
Yeah.
Because if you're guiding on someone else's property, you have this three-way dynamic.
Yeah.
There's the landowner, the client, and you.
And the landowner is probably nervous.
They're terrified. They're thinking, why should I let strangers with guns on my property that puts my farm at risk? If an accident happens, the lawyer's going to sue everyone, the guide and the person who owns the land. If you don't have insurance that covers that landowner, you're going to lose that lease so fast.
In fact, most smart landowners won't even sign the lease unless you can prove you have coverage.
Not a chance. You're bringing the liability to their doorstep, so you better bring the shield too.
Okay, now this next one is where I think the biggest misconception is. Public land. I can just hear people thinking, I hunt national forest land, it's public, I don't need insurance.
Right, it's federal land, not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a dangerous myth. The expert advice here is crystal clear. Even on public or federal land, you are liable for your clients and employees while in your service.
While in your service. That's the key phrase, isn't it?
It is. It creates the boundary of responsibility. Just because the accident happens on public land doesn't mean you weren't the professional guide in charge. The client is following your instructions. If a client gets hurt because you told them to cross a dangerous ravine or because a tree stand you set up fails, that liability is yours. The venue doesn't matter.
So no matter where you are, your land, their land, or Uncle Sam's land, you're on the hook. But there was one specific strategy in the source material that I found absolutely brilliant. It was about landlocked public land. This felt like a secret weapon.
Oh, this is a fantastic point. So imagine a prime piece of public hunting land, a real honey hole.
Yeah.
But it's completely surrounded by private property. There's no public road in.
To get there, you have to cross someone's private land.
And usually that landowner says, no way. Why would they? They get zero benefit and all the risk. If you get hurt crossing their field, they get sued. It's a total lose-lose for them.
Right.
But the source points out a solution. If you can walk up to that landowner and say, look, I'm a fully insured outfitter. I have a policy and I can add you as an additional insured just for the access. You have completely changed the conversation.
You've just removed their risk. You've taken their only excuse away.
Precisely. And suddenly you have access to hunting grounds that maybe nobody else can get to simply because you had the right paperwork. Insurance isn't just a shield anymore. It's a key. It literally opens gates.
That's amazing. It turns insurance from a boring cost into a strategic advantage. And that actually leads perfectly into our next thought here. We think of insurance as just a bill to pay, a drain. But the AHLA suggests we should see it as a business asset, almost like marketing.
Yes. And this is about the client psychology.
Yeah.
Think about the modern hunter hiring an outfitter. They're often professionals. They're spending good money. They're doing their research. When they see fully insured on your website, it signals legitimacy.
It separates the pros from the, you know, the sketchy side hustle guys. It says, I take this seriously.
Exactly. It's peace of mind. And the source makes an interesting point. Clients worry about their own liability, too. They know if they accidentally break something or, heaven forbid, cause an accident, they could be in big trouble.
So knowing the outfitter is insured is like a safety net for everyone.
It is. It tells the client, if things go south, we have a mechanism to handle it. And that builds trust. And in this business, trust gets you the booking. So yeah, it's a cost, but it can absolutely attract more customers.
Okay, so we've established the why and the where. Let's get into the what, the nitty gritty. Because people say, I have insurance, but what does that even mean? The force gives us some hard numbers on the AHLA policy limits. Can you walk us through these? Let's start with the big one.
Sure. So the policy provides a general aggregate of $2 million.
Okay, what is an aggregate? Translate that.
Think of it as your total bank for the policy period, usually a year. It's the maximum amount the insurance company will pay out for all claims combined during that year. So if you have one accident that costs $1 million and another that costs $1 million, your bank is empty.
Got it. So it's the absolute ceiling for the whole year.
Correct. Next up is products and completed operations at $1,000.
Completed operations. What does that mean for a guide? That sounds like corporate speak.
So this covers you after the service is done. Imagine you process a client's deer and sell them the meat. They go home, get sick from it. The hunt is over, but the liability is still tied to your service. This covers that post-hunt window.
Ugh, the ghost of the service coming back to haunt you. Okay. Then there's personal injury and advertising liability, also $1 million. Advertising. I thought we were worried about tree stands, not billboards.
This one catches people off guard, but it's vital. This isn't about physical injury. It protects you if you get sued for libel, slander, or copyright infringement. Say you use a photo on your website you didn't have the rights to.
You just grabbed a cool buck picture off Google Images.
Right. And the photographer sues you. This is what covers that. It protects the business side of the operation.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then we get to the core. Bodily injury and property damage. That's $1,000,000,000 each occurrence.
This is the meat and potatoes.
It is. This means for any single incident, one fall, one ATV crash, one shooting accident, the policy covers up to $1,000,000 for that event.
Got it. Then we have damage to rented premises at $100,000.
Right. This goes back to our talk about leasing. If you're renting a lodge and a fire breaks out, this covers the damage to that specific structure.
And finally, medical pay at $5,000. Now, I have to ask, that seems really low compared to the millions we just talked about.
It does seem low, but it has a totally different function.
Yeah.
Medical pay is usually no-fault coverage. Think of it as goodwill money.
Goodwill money.
Yeah. So a client twists an ankle stepping off the porch. They're not trying to sue you. They just don't want to be stuck with a $2,000 ER bill. Medical pay lets the insurance company cut a check for those small expenses immediately without having to go through a whole lawsuit.
It stops a small problem from becoming a big legal battle.
Exactly. It de-escalates everything.
That makes a ton of sense. Now, one thing the source really emphasizes is that getting this coverage, it isn't a nightmare. It explicitly says it's not a painful, drawn-out process. It mentions an online process, next-day coverage.
And that is critical. In the old days, this took weeks. Paper applications, faxes, waiting for calls.
Yeah.
It was a huge pain.
A friction point.
Yeah. The AHLA has streamlined this for hunters. The fact that you can go online and have a certificate in hand the next day, it just removes the excuse of, I don't have time.
Right. If you have time to check the weather, you have time to get insured.
Precisely. The barrier is gone.
But wait, there's more. We sound like an infomercial, but the source lists some really cool bonuses that come with this. It's not just the policy.
Right. It's a whole toolkit for the business. First, they provide a custom hunting lease agreement.
Which is huge. Why is that so valuable?
Have you ever tried to get a lawyer to draft one of those? It's expensive. Hundreds, maybe over $1,000 for a good contract. You need waivers, defined rules. Getting a vetted template included just saves you money right off the bat.
It practically pays for the membership itself.
It really does. And then there's the exposure, the marketing side.
The directory.
Yes. The AHLA has a guides and outfitter directory. You get a listing. So people looking for safe, insured hunts can actually find you through the association. It's free advertising.
And that guest blog opportunity you mentioned.
This one really caught my eye. They send a newsletter to 35,000 members a month.
Wow.
35,000 people who are already invested in hunting and leasing. And they offer insured outfitters the chance to write guest blogs. Think about that. You write an article, put your business name at the bottom. You're broadcasting to 35,000 potential clients.
That is a massive bang for your buck. You pay for protection, but you get legal tools and a marketing platform thrown in.
It reinforces that idea that this is a business asset, not just a safety net. It helps you grow the business, not just save it.
So bringing this all together, we've looked at the risks, the different lands, the numbers. What's the big takeaway? How should our listener feel about all this?
I think it's about sustainability, not in the environmental sense, but in the business sense. Insurance is about removing barriers. It removes the risk barrier for landowners. It removes the fear barrier for clients. And it removes the barrier of financial ruin that hangs over your own head.
It lets you focus on the hunt, on the client, the experience, instead of that nagging voice in your head worrying about the what ifs.
Precisely. It allows you to operate with confidence.
And I just want to hit that point one more time. Accessibility. Next day coverage. There really is no good reason to be operating without a net when the net is that easy to grab.
Exactly. It's a small price to pay to make sure your business still exists next year.
Right. So here's where we'll leave you today. Think about your own setup. Maybe you're an outfitter, maybe you're just thinking about it, and ask yourself this. If a single accident, one slip on the ice, one equipment failure, one moment of bad luck can put everything you've ever built in jeopardy, is operating without coverage or really anything other than gambling with your legacy every single time you step into the woods?
That's the question. And frankly, the odds in that gamble are never, ever in your favor.
Thanks for diving in with us today. Protect the legacy and stay safe out there.
See you next time.